It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And this is Mind, Body, Spirit, our special series exploring new, strange, and wonderful ideas about how we think, move, and feel. So, welcome to part three.
An official announcement from the Council of Ministers.
One of the atomic reactors at the Chernobyl atomic power plant near the city of Kiev was damaged. And there is speculation in Moscow that people were...
This has been perhaps the worst accident in the short history of the world's nuclear power industry.
In 1986, the Chernobyl disaster shocked the world, and it was an absolute catastrophe for people living near the plant. Tanya Luna was just a year old.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the wild thing is that the accident happened over 50 miles from where we lived, but... My sister had this, like, long, thick hair that she was so proud of, and she went outside. It rained that week, and her hair just kind of oozed out.
6 days after the explosion, an exclusion zone of 2,600 square kilometers was established across Ukraine and Belarus.
I got super sick. I was in the hospital for 9 months.
More than 300,000 people were forcibly removed from their villages.
You know, it completely changed the course of countless lives.
The comfort and familiarity of home was suddenly taken away from Tanya's family. But there ended up being a silver lining. 5 years after the accident, the U.S. granted them asylum.
Yeah, it was this, you know, one of the worst things that could have happened. And one of the most, you know, amazing opportunities for us to come to the U.S. and to have this completely new start and, you know, world full of possibility. Here we were just transported into this new dimension, brightly lit supermarkets. Someone had pre-sliced all the cheese, all the bread was sliced. I was like, what is this magical universe? You know, meanwhile, we had probably $2 a day to eat on as our budget. So very tough for my family. But we had TV and we had running water. And, you know, on the one hand, of course, so much scarcity. On the other hand, for me, just this sense of, like, infinite supply. You know, when I think about what was it that made that time so magical and what was the gift of that experience, I think it's because I was able to hold both the beauty and the wonder of it and the pain of it. You know, I grew up with constant stories of my grandmother, you know, going through the war and surviving off of potato peels and seeing my family struggle. They never hid it from us when we moved here or even when we were in Ukraine. So I think some of the magic comes from the richness of the pain and the beauty coexisting.
Bad things happen to all of us. Some are large scale, like environmental disasters or war. Others are more personal, like poor choices or the loss of a loved one. And depending on how we react, the consequences can devastate or focus us. So in the final installment of our series, Mind, Body, Spirit, ideas about rekindling a zest for life, and how confronting, rather than shirking, our fears, our mistakes, and even our mortality can give us purpose and meaning. So back to writer Tanya Luna. As a young adult, all the upheaval in her childhood started to catch up with her. And it had an interesting effect.
Yeah, so my coping mechanism for all this change, for all this uncertainty, being an immigrant in the U.S., you know, having just constantly moving, constantly having changes in, like, who I was living with in my family, I coped with that by saying, you know what, I'm gonna be in charge of my life from now on.
And the thing Tanya hated most? Surprises.
So I outlawed surprises across my friends and family. And I would say, like, I don't want gifts. And if you're going to give me a gift, let's talk about it beforehand. I don't want any surprises.
It was her early 20s, and she planned her life to a T.
Oh, literally. Yeah, exactly. I even at one point had this locket that was a flash drive that I wore around my neck. And it was full of spreadsheets that were essentially outlining all of the details and the plans. Oh, yes. And that was, you know, my attempt at going, I'm going to take control and I'm going to keep the surprise and the unexpected aspects of life out.
But then something happened that Tanya didn't have on her schedule. She fell in love.
Turns out you can't really fully fall in love without embracing some surprise and unpredictability and the aliveness of not knowing exactly what's going to happen when you say what you say or you know, when you allow yourself to feel certain things you haven't felt before. So part of it was falling in love and just recognizing if I allowed that surprise back into my life and found that balance of the ritualistic and the safe and the unpredictable, that is really the essence of aliveness.
I mean, Tanya, your life took so many twists and turns, from Chernobyl to immigrating to planning out your life and then to falling in love.
Yep, yep.
And you were so bowled over by your romance that you ended up writing an entire book about surprises, that thing you hated.
Yes. And for me, I was thinking of surprise as a little deeper than like, ooh, this is a fun thing. I was thinking this is training for people on how to embrace the unknown and the unpredictable, because so much of life is that.
All right. So what did you learn about what was happening in your brain? I mean, what happens in all our brains when we get surprised?
Yeah, so something that doesn't meet our expectations happens. The first thing that happens is this freeze moment. For this less than a second, our brains are just completely shut down. There's this brainwave called the P300 that kind of shoots through your brain and interrupts everything you're doing, and it just says, pay attention. Then our brains go into the find phase. They go, what's going on? What's going on? We become incredibly curious. We start asking a lot of questions. During this point, our emotions are incredibly intensified. It's like this aliveness intensifier. We like to say surprise makes you So depending on what the surprise is, it makes you happier, angrier, sadder. Then is shift. So in order for our brains to go, ah, okay, I can feel certain again, to kind of mend that discrepancy of expectation, we have to shift our expectations a little bit. And sometimes that shift is, you know, small, like, oh, this person's much nicer than I thought. Maybe it's significant, like, oh, my entire belief system, my faith has just shifted because of this surprise.
Mm.
And then finally, share. Surprise creates this cognitive overload that makes us want to, you can really only reduce the cognitive overload by talking about it with others, whether it's positive or negative. And so in so many ways, it's just such a connecting force for humans, is to tell stories of their surprise experiences.
Okay, so let's talk about this. If we are like, you know what, this is ringing true to me, I need to add a little zest, a little zing to my life to bring back that feeling of wonder and connection to the world around me, how can we all learn to engineer surprises, good surprises, in our daily lives?
Well, I think one of the easiest things you can do is try to notice, what are the patterns of my life? Like, what do I do consistently? Maybe it's your commute. Maybe it's who you talk to. Maybe it's how you talk to them. And then just start out with a little bit of pattern interrupting.
Mm.
Where are you holding on to control? Where are you so attached to how something is going to turn out, attached to outcomes? And how might you release that sense of control and replace it with like 10% more wonder? So literally just go through your day and go, oh, okay, that's a control feeling. That's my neck tightening up. That's my stomach tightening up. It's almost like we're living in this world full of these like secret hidden doors into other worlds, other possibilities. And most of us just walk down that hallway and never peek into any of those doors. So start opening those little doors and see what happens.
I do want to ask you, though, I mean, I have been on the receiving end of an unlucky surprise, a phone call that I got. It was a woman saying, I'm with your husband. He's been in a bike accident. And when you have a nasty surprise, as you did in your childhood, it can be really hard for some people to bounce back from that, to recognize surprise as something that's delightful and can build your spirit instead of diminished it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, right? Because our bodies, our brains protect ourselves. And that's good. That's absolutely good. Sometimes it's just a matter of kind of checking back in with your body after a while and saying, is that protection still serving me? Or is that protection now actually holding me contained? Mm. When we try to keep surprise out, we are preventing this relationship, this constant dynamic experience with the rest of the world. We're trying to prescribe how things are going to go. But the beauty and the sort of richness of spirit, I think, comes from removing those filters and embracing the fact that the world is inherently surprising. And so there's a lot of research that shows that just literally saying, I wonder, either out loud or in your mind over and over and over, just shifts how you perceive the world around you. And again, intensifies that sense of aliveness and connectedness.
Dinner time. I hate dinner time right now. I'm tired of cooking. I always cook the same things. I wonder what it would be like to serve Fluffernutter sandwiches.
I love that so much.
All I know is my kids will be like, marshmallows for dinner? Yes.
I love that. I love that. And also, you can invite them to be the surpriseologist in the kitchen and say, like, hey, I'm out of this dinner game. Let's see what you can come up with. I wonder.
I wonder what it would be like not to make dinner.
But then, see, that's the thing. Like, who knows? Maybe something really wonderful will happen. So much of even, like, you know, conflict resolution or relationship problems, so much of that has to do with us being stuck in a surprise-free, predictable system. As soon as something gets too predictable, it's kind of like that red flag where you have to go, might not be good for my spirit. Let me see what happens if I just go in a slightly different direction or in a totally different direction, just to see what happens.
That's writer Tanya Luna. Her book is called Surprise, Embrace the Unpredictable and Engineer the Unexpected. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, part 3 of our series, Mind, Body, Spirit. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.